So never mind the noise and the chatter. We are here for intelligent, fact-based conversation on the next episode of Bergen Banter. Hi, everyone. I am Dr. Larry Levanka, and this is the official Bergen Community College podcast. So today, we are going to discuss the topic of the goings-on in Korea right now. There is obviously a lot of intrigue, I think a lot of confusion in the West about what exactly happened. And I'll provide a little background here, but we have Dr. Kil Yi from our history department, who has some firsthand knowledge, obviously, and is certainly a field expert. But last week, President Yoon in Korea made a early morning, at least here in the States, announcement that he was declaring martial law in the country. Obviously, came as a shock, came as a surprise, and to those of us in the West, left us quite confused. This is a country that is a thriving democracy, a thriving economy, and to hear the implementation of martial law seems almost post-apocalyptic in a certain way. So that's where we'll start. Let's start right there at the imposition of martial law at President Yoon's decree. What happened there? Why?
I'll be very brief in terms of what steps happened starting from the night of December 3rd in Seoul time. So 10:26, to be more exact, out of nowhere, President declares a martial law, a state of emergency. Then the soldiers from special combat units and special combat police officers were sent to National Assembly. No, no, you cannot do that. Declaring a martial law or state of emergency is a constitutional authority bestowed upon the president, but there is a democratic procedure. At times, a state or government could be dysfunctional because of the external threat or internal threat. So that is doable. But it has to go through review of the cabinet. Cabinet doesn't vote on it, but they have to at least get together and voice the cabinet's opinion. This is built in a way that different opinions can make the president think a little straight or a little more straight.
Checks and balances.
All right. It is known that that formal procedure of cabinet review did not take place properly. So there is first strike there. Then he sent in the soldiers, combat unit, as well as police officers to block off the National Assembly legislative branch's prerogative, which is that they have right to vote on whether to accept or rescind the declaration of martial law. Soldiers got there trying to block off National Assembly from taking that action. That is absolute no-no. That's second strike.
Red line.
If you will. So already it is an illegal action. And when a martial law is declared illegal, we call it coup d'etat. In this case, since military was mobilized, that's a military coup d'etat. That's a serious stuff. That really is a serious stuff.
So you said something before that one of the genesis of something like this could be internal issues. And we in the West have heard that perhaps there was a movement by the president to institute martial law as a way to bring out those sympathizers from North Korea, or at least that's one of the things that has been bandied about. What led him to doing this?
Officially, there has to have two conditions that justify the declaration of martial law. External invasion, and that happens, that happens. Or internal rebellion that totally stopped or disrupted the normal functioning of government.
Right.
Now, President Yoon was very clever, I think, by saying that although we do not have an external invasion by communists, we have enough communist sympathizers here that is equivalent to external threat. Mm-hmm. In other words, we have fifth column that operates based on the order and command from the North Korea.
And this was a calculus that he made.
Absolutely.
That he believed mm-hmm. he could institute martial law and that people would rally behind what he was saying and what he was doing. But that's not what happened, obviously.
No. Anti-communism is a reality. It's a fact of life in Korea because it's a divided nation.
Yes.
And North Korea is not, as we say here, small potato in terms of its threatening posture or capabilities. So there is a significant portion of the Korean population who remain very suspicious of North Korea and North Korea's intentions, especially because of the nuclear arms development. So I think President Yoon made a very simple and misguided calculation. Communist threat, so-called silent majority will back me, and military that is trained to resist communists will back me up. That did not happen. Immediately after his declaration, citizens, especially young people, ran to the National Assembly and surrounded it and tried to block off further infusion of the combat units to disrupt the legislative process. He did not think that will happen, but it did.
So the phrase Red Scare, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still alive and well here in 2024, and it sounds like that dog whistle was exactly what he was trying to do. He was trying to rally people behind him to say, yes, there are sympathizers, and they have to be rooted out, right? I mean, Joseph McCarthy-style 1950s politics?
Goes beyond. I hope nothing will be lost in translation, but his statement read, in one sweep, I will get rid of and I will uproot these communist sympathizers who are disrupting our governmental function and trying to undermine the nation itself. And he ends a speech by saying, my dear people, trust me.
Your famous last words, right?
Trust me, I will do this.
Yeah, and I mean, for him politically now, I mean, famous last words indeed. Mm. There was an impeachment attempt over the weekend. Mm. That failed. Explain why that failed.
You require two-thirds of the National Assembly approving impeachment bill. Opposition did not have it. But something very funny happened. Vote did not take place. Opposition walked out, which means that vote was not even put on the floor. It's not like, I agree, I disagree. It is taking the opportunity, constitutional rights of the National Assembly members to say yes or no. They were held back. Now, that really is the destruction of constitutional spirit. You may say whatever you want. You may decide this way, that way, but opportunity has to be there. Isn't it the function of National Assembly? You walk in and vote. Voting was blocked. And that really, to me, is the reflection of the audacity to destroy, undermine, and yes, I will say trash constitutional process in Korea.
So for those of us who are not as educated on the goings-on of Korean politics, what does the political party system look like? I mean, obviously here we largely have a two-party system, et cetera. What does it look like in Korea? Where is Yoon situated in that party system and so on?
Democracy is a messy business.
It sure is. A great experiment,
right? Multi-party system is mess. And yes, you'll shout, you will argue. But that has to take place within the National Assembly. So this is what happened. In terms of how many seats the competing two parties have, President Yoon's party is absolute minority. Okay? The opposition has, what, about 192? I may be wrong, one or two seats. And the ruling party, the People's Power Party, PPP, has, what, 102, okay. I think, all right? So that is not a ideal situation for the ruling party.
Got it.
Okay. Now, so majority party in any democracy has every right to impose its vision. That's what parliamentary system is.
That's right. Yeah.
So that majority does have certain prerogative in terms of review. It could object to certain laws or bills, and you have to negotiate. You really have to negotiate. That's the beauty of parliamentary system. Now, I'm going to veer away slightly. I think what motivated President Yoon to pull this off, this kind of very dangerous push, if you will, there are three strikes I see. The first strike is obviously the fact that his party is minority in the National Assembly. Mm-hmm. He cannot pass a whole lot of legislations when he's facing the opposition that has absolute majority. All right, so that's the difficulty, challenge, mm-hmm. that he has to solve within the parliamentary system, not outside of it by bringing special combat units, because that's the first strike. Yes, he had that challenge. Another challenge that goes a little deeper into his psyche is that, you know, he's a lifelong prosecutor. He was elected by the margin of 0.73%, less than 1%.
Wow.
1%. He did garner some support with this notion that I will bring justice to this nation. Okay, understood.
Sort of a law and order candidate.
Order.
Okay.
But justice involves more than prosecuting the wrongdoers. Mm-hmm. Justice has to include fairness, tolerance, acceptance, and willing to sit down with people who might say things that hurt your heart. That's what the system is all about. I think he did not have that in his system to say, you know what? Let me listen to you. Why are you opposing me? He just felt that I can ram this thing. Prosecutor's business is to collect evidence, not collect how you feel and what could we do in terms of negotiation, cooperation, and so on and so forth. So what we call sentimentally, I think he was very unfit to deal with this very challenging situation. And number three is the corruption charges, especially against his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So to use the baseball analogy, he had very, very serious three strikes. So what do I do with this? Call off the game. Why wait until next inning? That's call off the game. By saying umpires are corrupt. Umpires were bribed.
So there's a few things there. But the first one, the third strike, right, about the personal relationship with his wife, a lot of scandalous stories out there, malfeasance with finances, etc. Also, the fact that, as you just said, perhaps this was cover for some of those things that are going on in his personal life. What can you tell me about that relationship and his wife's input into the national politics and government and how she might have his ear more than anyone really even knows?
Well, the National Assembly came very close to passing the law that will establish special prosecutors to look into Mrs. Yoon's dealings, stock market, real estate, and so on and so forth. It did not pass, but it came very close. So as we kind of move along these repetitive bills to institutionalized special prosecution, I think, yes, Mr. Yoon, or President Yoon, panicked. And here is why. It is no secret that his political rise has been, to put it mildly, supported by commitment, dedication, and loyalty of his wife. Mm-hmm. It's no secret that Mr. Yoon, lifelong prosecutor, did not have the political suaveness to pull these things together.
But his wife did?
Yeah, but his wife did. But at the same time, she and her family, in other words, President Yoon's in-laws, were charged with some very unsavory dealings in terms of stock market manipulation, real estate manipulation. Larry, there are crimes and there are crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is very unpleasant. You know what I'm saying
here?
Well, it's like Yes, illegal. And it's very, very ugly. And it should be looked into and prosecuted if necessary. But at the same time, there's a milieu of, why would you want to do this? Mm-hmm. Why would you want to do this? Mm-hmm. Such a pettiness. There's a beautiful expression in Korean politics. This family tries to scrape off last rice from the rice cooker. You know what I'm saying here?
I get it.
To fatten, fatten themselves a pocket, yeah.
So here we are. Mm-hmm. Now he's, Yoon for now, uh-huh, has escaped an impeachment, mm-hmm, but it doesn't look like he is long for leadership in Korea. So now what happens? And we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. We don't know for sure, but what in your best analysis would be the most probable steps for President Yoon and for leadership in Korea?
Mr. Yoon's People's Power Party is clever. It is clever. It is currently headed by a leader who is pretty clever, I think. And his name is Han, H-A-N. Now, they had a meeting between Mr. Han, the leader of the party, and the sitting president, and they had a meeting, and I think they cut a deal.
Okay.
And this is how we are going to handle this. Okay?
Not uncommon.
Not uncommon.
Yep.
No impeachment, but I am willing to step down after a certain period of time. I guess it's a kind of exit with dignity, which is impossible. I
mean, golden parachute.
Absolutely. So Mr. Dong-hun Han agreed to it because President Yoon dangled this little prize. You know what? I'm going to step aside. You act like president. Give me 6 months, not exactly how long, but 6 months or a year. Let me gracefully exit, and at least I save my face and our party. Now, that
Mr. Are people going to stand for that?
Well, Mr. Han Dong-hun actually, stood before the media and said, well, we are going to try to find peaceful solution to all this, essentially saying impeachment is not on my card. Soon thereafter, people got really, really upset. Politics is also about perception.
Yes.
This sneaky little person is trying to now save Yoon and make himself quasi-president.
Yes.
Which is unconstitutional. Constitution empowers the president, and rest is not directly empowered by the people. He's the head of the party. That's his thing. That's your turf, but it has nothing to do with how people delegated authority onto you. But he's appearing before the mass media and saying, from here on, we are going to try to find peaceful solution to all this, and I will be in charge. Who put you there?
That's right. But in a vacuum, that's what can happen, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So people begin to literally, essentially, rise.
Yes.
And recently, these numbers are tricky, but it seems that nearly a million people came out to protest impeachment and only impeachment. Stop this talk about graceful, slow, normalized exit from this crisis. Stop. This has to be impeachment. And I think the whole political feelings or, if you will, political calculation is moving towards impeachment. Mm. Impeachment.
Do you think so sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think at this point, do you know that Mr. President Yoon, the Department of Justice imposed travel ban for the president? President being unable to travel because of the suspicion of illegal activities, including unlawful martial law. Try to imagine, how can he possibly function if this nation barred the president from traveling overseas?
So is Yoon then a bad actor, just a bad leader who, okay, he rose to power and now he's going to be expunged from power? Or is he a symptom of a greater condition? Is this something that we're seeing not only in Korea now, but throughout the world, where we're seeing people coming to power who are more authoritarian, more consumed by personal vendettas, revenge, etc. I mean, this is not unique throughout history. There's plenty of examples of it. But again, in a democracy, in a system like Korea's, that's not all that different from our own here in the United States. It just seems like we're seeing some things that are disconcerting. So what's the deal? Is Yoon a symptom or is he a bad apple?
Okay. This is my personal take on this. He's the masterpiece of this mess. So he had a thin margin, very thin margin of 0.73%. Yes. You have to establish what we in Asia call mandate from heaven, legitimacy. In other words, you have to have that strong message that although I won by 0.73%, I am strong enough to run this country and bring peace, justice, happiness, prosperity, and all of that to you. Now, he really did not have that message. I won, therefore I rule. That's latissimo, I'm the state. That's his attitude. And many people, including myself, that comes from his lifelong career as a prosecutor.
Black and white.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guilty and non-guilty.
And I don't know whether this is fortunate or unfortunate, but we had the North Korean missile issue. So his anti-communism fit right into the so-called Indo-Pacific strategic calculation. You know, America was is still strongly against the rise of China.
Yes.
And the United States is not going to let down at this point any sanctions against North Korea. In this milieu, Korea, Japan, United States of America, so-called triangular military alliance became very important, and Mr. Yoon just threw himself into that equation. But what about other things the president should do? You know, you have to, you know, bring justice, yes, but also justice and securities are very important. But what about a sense of future, that we are going somewhere? This nation is going somewhere. This nation is healing. This nation is being fair to who are not 5% elite.
Mm-hmm.
What about those domestic issues that make people feel, you know what? I like where I am. And I think we have a future. Instead, it is prosecution, condemnation of North Korea, and feeding America into this strategic calculation of Korea, Japan, and United States alliance system. Now, that's one more.
Because the United States part is, we have to get there. Yeah, I mean, just have to talk about it. Yeah.
Okay. For many Koreans, the whole concept of South Korea and Japan relations is a very tricky one.
Yes.
You know, Japan colonized Korea for 36 years, from 1910 to 1945. And I think it's fair to say Japan is refusing to accept responsibilities for horrendous violation of human rights that took place during Japanese colonization of Korea. So Koreans are very uneasy. And to a certain extent, Koreans are nationalistic. Whereas Mr. Yoon's message is, we have to create this triangular defense system.
Mm.
Korea, Japan, and the United States of America. We oppose, we counter North Korean threat. And we also check on Chinese ambitions in this region. And we'll be the three statues of free world in Indo-Pacific. Now, that sounds good. That sounds
right,
good.
Right, but it also forgets.
Hey, I need to eat, you know. And I need to eat well, but not just well, but I need to eat with a sense of dignity. Mm. And that aspect of nationhood was ignored. Mm. So it's all about, oh, by the way, he's one of the most well-traveled leaders outside of Korea.
So Okay, outside of Korea. Uh-huh. I think that's where the conversation goes next. And that is, in your view, what do you think this does to Korea's perception mm-hmm. in the global space? Mm-hmm. What does it do in the United States mm-hmm. with relations mm-hmm. with Korea? And what does it do here at home mm-hmm. for the millions of Koreans mm-hmm. living in the United States, mm-hmm. and especially in our mm-hmm. corner of the world mm-hmm. here in Bergen County? Mm-hmm. So
let me answer the second question. You know, yeah. we are Korean Americans, mm-hmm. and our pride is placed equally on two identities. We are very proud Koreans, and we are very proud Americans. At this point, because of that craziness that took place, I think that first part of the Korean-American identity is shaken. In other words, yeah, there's an element of, this is the country that I felt so proud of, that whenever, you know, someone said, oh, tell me about Korea, then my spiel starts like this, you know? Korea was one of the poorest countries in the world. Colonized, Korean War, division, and all of that. But now, what car do you drive? Kia. Well, that's from Korea. What refrigerator do you have in your kitchen? Samsung.
Samsung, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Now, I'm telling myself, why are they so important? Samsung, Kia, LG, life is good. When overnight, about 250 soldiers can dismantle democracy. What is the reason for being so proud of how Korea or South Korea has come to this point? So that really has shaken my sense of that dual pride in being Korean American. But now, I'm going to be very blunt about this. The first statement that came out of Washington, the State Department, says something to the effect, pardon me, and you know my translation will not be perfect, is very much like, democracy is a foundation of U.S.-Korean alliance. I love it. I love it. In other words, in order for U.S. and Korea to coexist and do what it must in terms of long-term vision, security, prosperity, and cooperation, democracy is a key element in this equation and this diagram. Loved it. Of course. We are fellow democratic societies. Yes. We have to work together. And yes, America has a longer history of democracy. So teach us a bit, kind of attitude. I mean, that's perfect. Second statement that came out on December 5th is slightly different. And the tone of the statement is, I think all is well, relatively speaking, and our Korea, Japan, and U.S. alliance will be okay.
It's still strong. Yeah.
Democracy is the absolute value. Triangular alliance cannot be a precondition for democracy in Korea. So I was flabbergasted. If you want to say something to the effect that democracy is important, cut out the alliance part. You don't have to put it there. Democracy is important wherever, for whomever. You don't put a little dangling thing that says, well, now we are relieved to a certain extent because Korean situation has subsided. The crisis has kind of entering into the
different stage.
But I'm more glad that alliance system is still intact. And I kind of felt that this is putting priority on security and military aspect of the beautiful relationship that has existed between Seoul and Washington. Now it feels like, I know what your priority is, Mr. Washington. From a very personal take, I have a feeling that now I know what you're looking for there.
So do you think that's the posture of the United States, generally speaking, or is it the posture of, say, the Biden administration, or is it the posture of the Biden administration knowing it's going out the door and, you know, sort of as a corollary to that, with a new administration coming in, does that posture change, knowing how the Trump administration has been previously with foreign governments, taking more of an isolationist point of view? How does that all figure into
I think
the future?
The Biden administration has been very consistent. It's clearly stated, we're not going to deal with North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to check on China. So South Korea, Japan, U.S., trilateral relations is a top priority. That posture has not changed. I think this is speculation, but I think President Newt might have been encouraged by the fact that he's been to Camp David and he sung this song, American Pie, in Washington, D.C., so we are. Who can stop me? Kind of attitude was there. Luckily, I think Washington has realized that Korean people are not that simplistic. It's not that simplistic. That Korean people, especially young people, are willing to sacrifice a lot to protect democracy, that they and their parents, their grandparents, and their forefathers or forebears fought for. So from Washington's point of view, move your focal point away from presidential office and look into what people are doing. Then answer is very, very, very simple. Korea, yes, is threatened. Yes, Korea faces nuclear arsenal of North Korea. But basically, Korea's foundation is aspiration and thirst for democracy. That will not change. That will not change.
And I think that brings us back to sort of that final question. Mm. Korean Americans like yourself here in the United States, and especially that older generation that has those very real scars of becoming a democracy.
Mm.
What is the tenor of those conversations and those individuals? And you said before that it can be heartbreaking and so on, but from those individuals living in the United States, by and large, how are they feeling right now? And what is their recommendation? What do they want to see happen?
Okay, I've been talking to the members of Korean American community in New York City. And as a matter of fact, I went to a protest rally Wednesday night. And I came out of those conversations and protest rallies feeling very positive, feeling good. And here is why. Anti-communism is clearly there. Many Korean Americans come from the families that fled North Korea. But they still felt that South Korea has such a potential to correct itself. In other words, North Korean agents will not undermine South Korea. They don't like communism, but they do not necessarily feel that North Korean fifth column will, topple the system. So anti-communism is there. But anti-communism as a justification for dictatorial rules, violation of human rights, and ultimately destruction of democratic process, they will not tolerate. So it's a very, very, very exhilarating feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't argue with them regarding their anti-communist, anti-North Korean feelings. It's real. Mm-hmm. It's there. But at the same time, I hate communism, but I don't think Pyongyang will be able to destroy South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And that positive...
That's the optimism.
That optimism, I think, coming from the fact that, within two hours, the declaration of martial law was rescinded. Within an hour, more than, 150 National Assembly members are required to have this rescinding vote. People, out of nowhere, National Assembly members came to National Assembly and voted on this bill to rescind or reject a declaration of martial arts.
Democracy endures,
And young people especially spend night there. And they blocked off the, dispatch of special combat units. And what's amazing? Special combat units, yes, in the very initial stage, broke the windows. They tried to infiltrate the main assembly hall and so on. But after a little while, it just became Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this?
So not to oversimplify it, but in the grand experiment of democracy, right? A speed bump, is that what we say, or something more?
Blessing in disguise. Blessing in disguise. We know what Korean people are capable of. 6 hours. 6 hours. You know, they planned it very carefully. Very, very carefully. They had a list of people to be arrested, taken to which bunker, and they had master plans. But nothing went right. Why? Because they are, you know, they're idiotic? No. There is that current of commitment, dedication, and willing to sacrifice for this thing called democracy that South Koreans work so hard to bring it to this point.
The real people power.
Real people power.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so I am very optimistic. Yes, there will be opposition. And there are already very far-right columnists, people writing, yes, we are indeed threatened by North Korean sympathizers and so on and so forth. But that does not justify sending Humvees to the National Assembly. So they accept that. So that's amazing.
Well, fascinating conversation, Dr. Kil Yee from the Bergen Community College History Department. Bergen Banter, a spot for fact-based, intelligent conversation where we cut through the noise and the chatter. Thanks again, Dr. Yee.
Can I have my last 5 seconds?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. This is a complex issue.
Yes.
And the fact that my institution is willing to spend time and through your activism and vision to discuss these issues is really comforting and encouraging to me. And of course, I thank your staff for making this possible. Thank you so much.
You bet, Dr. Kil Yee. All right. Again, never mind the noise, never mind the chatter. We are here for intelligent, fact-based conversation on Bergen Banter, and we will see you again down the road.